As we begin this message, we will ask for God's blessing and direction on it. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us, for the blessing of life for each one of us as we are here today. We thank you. God, this message is yours. Please use it as you see fit, that you would guide my words, that you would certainly guide the listening, that we can hear exactly what you have for us. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message, Do You Trust a Promise? Think about that a minute. Trusting a promise. I know you can't share because of a digital format, but did you think of a blessing of a promise that you have received, or maybe thought of a broken promise that's in your past? What does come to your mind when you hear the words, I promise? Do you believe the promise? Does it depend on the person saying it? As a child, I heard my daughters, I promise, Daddy, and I knew their intention was right. But I knew that it probably wasn't going to work out. Or maybe as I think back as my childhood, as making a promise to my parents, sometimes those didn't work out quite the way that they were intended. But as you think of the person that is saying, I promise, could be a spouse. Maybe that worked out well, and maybe the promise didn't hold. A parent. Both as we think of our parents and the promise we may have made to them, or our children and the promises that they have made. A parent sometimes in a divorce situation, and I promise to see you, my child, on a schedule, and it didn't work out. Those can really affect our belief in a promise. Certainly, we don't always believe the promise that an elected official tells us. Track record kind of shows that that's probably just words. So it kind of brings up, are we cynical in our thinking when we hear the words promise or I promise? I'm sure there's a fair amount of cynicism that comes into play. We can all think of a broken promise or a received promise, or given, because I'm sure we are all recipients or guilty of breaking a promise or sharing a positive one. Is there a promise that can absolutely be trusted? Is that even possible? The lack of trust of a promise is often carried over to a people's relationship with God, which begs the question, does God keep his promises? Do you trust God? And when I say that, I don't mean just a surface trust, but a no matter what happens trust. If God's response isn't what you have in mind, do you still trust what he does and says? We're going back and picking up the story from the Church of Thessalonica, remembering that they were focused on the end times. This was something that Paul addressed. We talked about last week, and probably for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this church in Thessalonica. Believers in Thessalonica were asking about God's promises, in particular about the resurrection. And as we go through some of these today, I'm sure you can answer in a positive, I know I can, that I hear some of the same questions on a weekly basis from different people. The church in Thessalonica had concerns about those who died in the faith before Jesus returns. And you have to remember, they honestly thought that Jesus would return in their lifetime. So their premise or their thinking was, what about those that died in the faith before Jesus came in his second return? What happens to those? Did they miss the blessing? Are they lost? Would only those who are alive at Christ's return receive the gift? You can look in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52 for a reference. What exactly is God's promise? Can you share it? Can you explain it? How do we know that God will even keep his promise? What happens when we die? Soul sleep, the idea that dead are unconscious, is one aspect. Jesus' references to what happens after death suggest a conscious awareness of bliss or pain. You can look in Luke 16, verse 19, and Luke 23 and verse 43. Paul regarded death as gain, a better life. He believed that death would bring him a closer, richer, fuller experience of Christ than he was already enjoying on earth. And look in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. As we are a part of Grace Communion International as our denomination, I'm going to read kind of a summary statement to kind of give you a perspective of where we stand as a denomination. Summing up this point, we note that all descriptions in Scripture concerning the state of the dead are evocative in nature. That is, they are metaphorical and symbolic and not technical, precise, or literal description of reality. Moreover, Scripture tells us far less about such things than some try to make of it and what it does say. We must, therefore, approach the issue with reserve and humility. As a result, in Grace Communion International, we are not dogmatic on this non-core issue because Scripture is less than dogmatic. And when we talk about a non-core issue, we know the beginning parts of this and we know the end result. The end result is clearly stated. The time between really is immaterial because we know the beginning and the end. We note, however, that the preponderance of the scriptural evidence suggests that during this immediate state, the time between the death of the body and its resurrection on the last day, the human spirit is consciously aware. Perhaps some who have neither embraced nor rejected Christ at the death of the body are in a neutral place or a state, awaiting a time of future choice, or perhaps they are given the choice during the process of the body dying. Scripture simply does not give us the details. So to make dogmatic statements is a little presumptuous. We can speculate, and that's all it is, but we do know the end. With that in mind, let's look at Paul's words to the church in Thessalonica. Our reading today from Curtis was 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, and we will refer to these through the New Revised Standard Version in this message. We need hope. When faced with grief, loss, and suffering, all of which are a part of the human experience, those around us need hope. The world needs hope. And that's what we will look at. Christians grieve, but they do so as ones who have a sure hope. This week, I received an email telling me about the death of a friend, a co-pastor, someone that I actually went to college with, Sammy Odell, pastor in the Grace Communion Church in Amarillo, Texas. I know I will see Sammy again. But his loss, it does hurt, and I do grieve, and I feel for his wife and daughters and family, but I know that it's not ended. I will see Sammy at some point in the future. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. Paul, we do not want you to be uninformed. He's talking to the church there. He's talking to us. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that we may not grieve as others who have no hope. Have you ever been around someone that there is no hope when they die or when their family member passes? That's it. They're done. They have lived their life and they have no hope beyond what is next. I believe, Sammy believed, that there is a future. God promises that. And I know I will see him again. Paul connects our resurrection and the resurrection of those loved ones who have already passed with Jesus' resurrection. We'll pick it back up in verse 14 of chapter 4. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, we who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. That connection is promised through the resurrection. A reference again is from Acts 17 and verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. In Jesus we live and move and have our being. We are united with Jesus in his death and his resurrection, both of which have occurred. This resurrection, it won't be done in secret. It will be a big event. The second coming of Jesus Christ is promised to happen, and it will occur. But it will be something that is a big event. He promises that we will be with Jesus for all eternity from that point. Paul describes this big event in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 through 17. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, and with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Let's break that down a little bit in verse 16. A cry of command, the archangel's call, and the sound of God's trumpet, all descending from heaven. We're not seeing anything at this point. We are hearing around the world a cry of command, an archangel's call, and the sound of God's trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up into the clouds together, meeting Jesus as he is returning. And we will be with him forever. Can you picture the visual of that? The imagining of where we are on earth as alive and hearing God's command, hearing the archangel's call, hearing God's trumpet, the excitement of knowing what this means is just overwhelming to envision. and to recognize and be a part of meeting Jesus in the clouds with everyone that who has ever lived in Christ. Paul reminds us to share this promise with others, to give the encouragement of the hope they have in the resurrection. Do you have that hope? Do you believe in that hope? Can you share that hope? In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he says, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The return of Jesus is good news. Resurrected with Jesus is priceless. It hurts when we have someone that we dearly love and they have died. As Sammy passed this week, it was a shock. It was not something that those of us that knew him expected. But the hope is very true. The promise is true. We will see one another. To summarize, Jesus' resurrection is proof that God keeps his promises. That's already occurred. It's proof. Through the resurrection, we have been given new life. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, and because we are included in Jesus, we can trust that God will raise us to be with Jesus. People need to be reminded of the hope of the resurrection. There's a lot of pain in this world. Sometimes we forget about our brothers and sisters around the world or what they're going through. We know in this nation right now, hope is severely needed. It is something that each one of us could really benefit from. But we're not unlike the rest of the world. We need hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. There is a need for hope. There is a need to know that this life is just temporary. Have you ever experienced being around someone that this life is all that they have? They have no hope. They have no belief in anything beyond this life. When this life ends for them and their belief system, that's it. But when we have a belief and a trust in Jesus Christ, this physical life is just temporary. Granted, that's all we know from a physical standpoint. That's all we can realize. But because of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that God provided for him and his coming in the future, we have a hope that is well beyond this temporary existence. We have a future forever promised in Jesus. We grieve with others, but we don't grieve as those without hope. Can you look at and see and share your belief? Maybe ask God when the perfect time is to share that hope. We know our hope is Jesus, and we are called to remind others of that hope. Asking God when that time is to share gives the perfect timing and the perfect comfort to whom we're sharing it with. Jesus is the promise and shows us the importance of keeping a promise. We understand how hope and promises are woven together. Recognize how important it is for us to keep promises made to others. When you promise to do something, do it. When you promise to sustain something, do it. This gives hope to those around, to those that the promise is made to, along with the grace that God has shown us. Keeping promises are what life and hope is about. keeping a promise is what God has done through Jesus Christ. Show your example that promises do exist. Not just your example, but through the love of Jesus, we receive a future beyond this life. Share this promise of hope. Jesus is the promise you can trust. Thank you for being a part of our message today, for listening. If you have questions or you have a thought, something you would like to share, please reach out to us at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. It is such a blessing to share this hope, this promise of Jesus Christ. And we thank you and we ask that God would bless each one this week, that we can share and live in the hope of the promise of eternity with Jesus Christ.